certainly appreciate Max leading us in that hymn, A Soul Winner for Jesus. And I encourage us not only to have an open Bible this evening, but also keep your hymn book opened up there to 568, to that hymn that Max just led us in, that we just sung, A Soul Winner for Jesus. Because that's where our lesson this afternoon is going to come from. You see, the hymn, A Soul Winner for Jesus, it's a hymn that reminds and exhorts us of the need to be a soul winner for Jesus. And this hymn gives us several reasons for being a soul winner for Jesus. Did you notice that as we sung that hymn? Did you notice those reasons for why we need to be a soul winner for Jesus? We're going to talk about that this afternoon as we examine the hymn, A Soul Winner for Jesus. And let's notice some reasons that this hymn gives us for why we should do all that we are able to do to be a soul winner for Jesus. And the first reason for being a soul winner for Jesus that this hymn brings out is we should want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day because He does so much for us. Did you see that as we sung the hymn there in verse 1? I want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. He does so much for me. Have you thought about lately how much Jesus has done and does for you? Have you? You see, we need to be mindful each and every day, not only of how much Jesus has done for us, but also of how much He does for us. When I think about what Jesus has done for us, I can't help but to think about even David's prayer, as he alluded to, the fact that He died for our sins. And it's because of His love for us and Him going to that cross and dying for our sins, shedding His precious blood for the remission of sins for many. Because of that, we have that hope of heaven. And when I think about Christ dying for our sins, and I think about what He has done for us, I'm very mindful of what the Apostle Paul penned there in Romans chapter 5. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to Romans chapter 5. And here in Romans chapter 5, Paul reminds us of just how much Jesus has done for us. When he says here in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 6 beginning, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, now watch it, Christ died for us. Much more than now, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. That's a good reminder of what Jesus has done for us, isn't it? And we need to be mindful of that. We need to be mindful of the fact that Jesus died for our sins, as we learn in 1 Corinthians 15:3. We need to be mindful, as we learn there in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we need to be mindful of what He has done for us in going to that cross and dying and shedding His life's blood for us. When I think about not only what Christ has done for us, I also think about what Christ continues to do for us. And we learn about what He continues to do for us there in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. And the fact that He is our mediator between God and man. Did you know that? Did you know that there is only one mediator between God and man? And who is that mediator, Paul says? Jesus the Christ. He still is our mediator this very day. And we need to be mindful of that. We need to be mindful, as we learn there in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, as the Hebrews writer informed, that Christ aids us in our temptation. Did you know that? You see, Christ still does a lot for us. And we need to be mindful of all He does for us. We learn there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 the fact that he sympathizes with our weaknesses. You see, Christ, he has and does so much for us. And we should want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day simply because of what Jesus Christ has done and does for us. But we also learn in the hymn another reason for why we should want to be a soul winner for Jesus. And that is because we should want to be a soul winner for Jesus and want to aid the lost sinner to leave their erring way and be from bondage free. We go on to see that there in the rest of the verse 1 of the hymn. When it says, I want to aid the lost sinner to leave his erring way and be from bondage free. You see, thinking about what Jesus has done for us, we too should want to share that with others. And we should want to aid the lost sinner to leave their erring way and be from bondage free. And when I think about that, I'm mindful of what Jesus himself said there in John the 8th chapter. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to John chapter 8. And here in John chapter 8, beginning in verse number 31, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Now pay close attention to verse 32. Because he goes on to say, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Here Jesus informs that the truth will set you free. It will make you free. And what is it that the truth is going to set us free from? Well, we go on to learn, as Jesus says, dropping down there to verse number 34. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You see that? That's what the truth shall make you free from. From the bondage of sin. And it is possible because of what Jesus did for you and I, and going to the cross and shedding his life's blood so that we may obtain the remission of our sins and be set free from the bondage of sin. And it's because of that that we should want to aid those that are lost in sin to be free from the bondage of sin. Again, we learn that those that are in sin, that they are slaves of sin and that they are under the bondage of sin there in Romans the 6th chapter. Go back with me, if you will, there to the book of Romans. And turning back there to Romans chapter 6. And let's just begin reading here in verse number 16. And there Paul writes, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Think about that. That's a good question. Paul says you're either going to be a slave to sin or you're going to be a slave of obedience. It's going to be one or the other. And he goes on to say there, talking to these Romans who have been freed from the bondage of sin. He says in verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. He says in verse 24, when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. You see, while we need to be doing our part and being a soul winner for Jesus and doing our part to aid the lost sinner to leave their erring way and to be set from the free from the bondage of sin, you do, don't you? And that's another reason this hymn gives us for why we should be a soul winner for Jesus. But another reason we learn from the hymn for why we should be a soul winner for Jesus is found there in verse 2 of the hymn. And that is, we should be a soul winner for Jesus and bring the lost to Him that they His grace may know. Again, verse 2 of the hymn reads, I want to be a soul winner and bring the lost to Christ. Why? That they His grace may know. Think about that. You see, when I think about that, I am mindful of the words of the Apostle Paul found there in Ephesians chapter 1. Go with me, if you will, there to Ephesians chapter 1. And thinking about that line in verse 2 of the hymn, think about that as we read these words of the Apostle Paul penned here in Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 3 beginning. And there Paul wrote, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Now pay close attention to verse 7. Because Paul says, in Him, that being in Christ Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. I don't know about you, but I'm certainly thankful for the unmerited favor of our Lord. And when you think about grace, you think about what it is. Grace is unmerited favor. Those who receive grace aren't deserving of it. And we need to be mindful of that when we think about not only what Jesus has done for us in shedding His blood so that we can have the forgiveness of sins, but also the fact, as Paul says here in verse number 7 of Ephesians 1, that it was done according to the riches of His grace. And we should want to be a soul winner for Jesus and bring the lost to Him that they His grace may know. And so that we may, along with them, continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we learn in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 18. But another reason the hymn gives us for why we should want to be a soul winner for Jesus is the fact that we should want to be a soul winner for Jesus and want to work for Him every day while we can, knowing that there is a day coming in which we will no longer be able to. We learn about this in verse 3 when the verse 3 of the hymn says, I want to be a soul winner till Jesus calls for me to lay my burdens down. I want to hear Him say, Servant, you've gathered many sheaves. Here we can see that we need to be a soul winner for Jesus, and we need to work until we can't work no more. We should strive to be a soul winner for Jesus until He calls for me to lay our burdens down. And when I think about that, I think about the need to work while it is still day and able to work. Because Jesus Himself even said there in John chapter 9 and verse 4 that there is a day coming when no man can work. Notice that with me there in John chapter 9 and verse 4. These were the words of Jesus Himself. He said, I must work the works of Him, that being the works of God the Father, who sent me while it is day. And He goes on to tell us why. when he says the night is coming when no one can work. Think about that. Be mindful of the fact that there's going to be a time coming when the soul of each and every one of us is going to be required from us, of us. There's a time coming when our Lord and Savior is going to return. We don't know which is going to happen first. But we do know that there's a time coming when no man can work. And we need to be mindful of the need to be striving to bring souls to Jesus while there is still opportunity to work to bring souls to Jesus, knowing that there is a time coming in which we will no longer be able to. And when I think about that, I'm very mindful of the words of the Hebrews writer found there in Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse number 27 beginning. And there the Hebrews writer said, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment." He says in verse 28, "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin for salvation." We learn two things there. Number one, we learn that there is an appointed time for man to die. But we also learn in verse 28 that there is a time coming when Christ will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. And we need to be mindful of that. We need to be aware of it. And we need to be working to bring souls to Jesus while there is still time to do so. But one more reason to share with you this afternoon in regard to why we should be a soul winner for Jesus found in the hymn is the latter part of verse 3 when it says, "I want to hear him say, 'Servant, you've gathered many sheaves, receive a shining crown.'" When I think about that, I think about the fact that we should want to be a soul winner for Jesus and want to bring many to him so that we may someday receive our reward together with them. You see, we need to be mindful, brethren, that the harvest is white and ready for harvest. And when I think about that, I'm mindful of what Jesus himself said to his disciples there in John chapter 4. And there in John chapter 4, beginning in verse number 34, Jesus, speaking to his disciples who tried to encourage him to eat, Jesus said to them in verse 34, John 4, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Now watch verse 35. Because Jesus said, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life." You see that? He goes on to say that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. "For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors." I want us to be mindful of those words of Jesus, brethren. And I want us to use those as motivation for us to want to be a soul winner for Jesus every day. Knowing, as Jesus said there in verse number 35, knowing that the harvest, it is already white for harvest. The fields are already white for harvest. We need to be mindful of that. And we need to remember, as he said there in verse 36, "And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life." When I think about that, I think about the words of the Apostle Paul there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we've alluded to Apostle Paul a lot throughout this short series of lessons on soul winning. And we've talked about how the Apostle Paul was a soul winner role model. And we talked about how Paul, he was one who, as Alvin read for us a few moments ago there from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, who he made himself a servant to all. Why? so that he could win the more. Paul's focus was on winning souls for Jesus. And when I think about that, and I think about as Paul wrote as his life was about to come to an end, I'm mindful of those words he penned, as we learned there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse number 7 beginning. And there Paul writes, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Now watch verse 8. Because he says, "Finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." You think about that shining crown that the hymn talked about. You think about how we, as servants of the Lord, long to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And you think about the need to be working to bring souls to Jesus while we have the opportunity to do so, so that we can someday hear those words we long to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So that we can confidently say, as Paul said here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 7, that we have fought the good fight, that we have finished the race, that we've kept the faith, and that there is finally that crown of righteousness laid up for us. And notice what Paul said there. Not only is that crown going to be laid up for him, he said, but also to who? To all who have loved his appearing. Think about that. Think about that. Again, there's a great day coming when we all are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And on that judgment day, we're either going to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in." Or we're going to hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And we need to be mindful of that. And knowing that, we need to seek to be a soul winner for Jesus and strive to bring as many to heaven with us as we can. Knowing that Jesus has promised those who are faithful unto death that crown of life, as we learn in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and in verse number 10. Once more, my beloved brethren, may we all want to be a soul winner for Jesus and want to do as much as we can to bring as many souls as we can to Jesus. Maybe there's one or more here this evening who someday want to receive that crown of life, but you have not yet submitted yourself in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that this very hour. For if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ, you can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to keep on keeping on. We must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised, as we just talked about, there in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Maybe there's one here this afternoon who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, asking for His forgiveness. Get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if there would be one here this afternoon to be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, "Max is Selected."